Good afternoon and welcome to this week's Gnostic Radio Show. You're listening on PBA FM 89.7 or digitally online. It's just after 4 p.m. and you're with myself, Diana. And joining me today is Adam Mystery, who's a student from the Fell Centre in Adelaide. Welcome to the show, Adam.
Thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure. So today we're going to be talking about the topic of magical powers, which explores the more mysterious and esoteric side of the Gnostic studies.
Indeed.
Last week we talked about impatience, which was more of a psychological topic, so it's good to have a balance
Of everything.
So magical powers is something that most people may be unfamiliar with, but there's definitely something in there that's intriguing.
I think everyone's fantasized about them at least once in their life.
So exploring this topic, we hope to be able to help our listeners in some way or another, perhaps who may be closet magicians. But no, in a practical sense,
yeah.
How we can better understand
magic and
faculties and all that.
And the purpose they have in spiritual growth.
Yes, so we have a fascination with movies like Harry Potter and all these type of mysterious, programs.
Yeah. So, very vaguely esoteric things that the media gives us.
Yes, so why do you think that is?
Well, it's interesting because, you know, the idea of magic, it's something that, you know, touches us all really deep inside. And a lot of people, you know, disregard that little voice inside that, you know, wants magic. Or, as you said, there a lot of people just kind of, magic is a thing. They go see Harry Potter movies and they may like it. They may take their kids to it. But at the end of the day, there's no search for magic. Their magic isn't a part of their lives. They leave that as just a kind of a whatever thing. Whereas the people that go on to kind of search for magic, it's really what they're searching for is they're searching for, you know, their source, the source, I don't want to say spiritual, but it's more of a mystical source. It's one of those interesting things because, you know, with religion, when you look at religion and you look at all of the founders or leaders, or you look at specific people in religions, they actually display faculties. Every religion has stories of people who have faculties. Like in Buddhism is what is that, you know, laden with people who have faculties, and Hindus always have like stories of men and swamis and yogis that can levitate. And yet when you kind of go into these religions, they always tell you to, you know, not focus on that. They're, you know, look away. Whatever, that's, if you want to do any of that, you're clearly immature, you know, they don't want you to know about it or anything, and that's kind of strange, isn't it? Because in the end, all of the magical faculties like clairvoyance and levitation or the control over the elements, all of that actually, the source of that actually comes from our, you know, our internal being, our innermost, or our divine mother. That's the source, really, of our magical powers. And so what people need to come to understand, really, is the search for magic is actually the search for our higher self. And that's, you know, normal people, we've all forgotten that we're spiritual creatures, that we have a higher self. But it's funny, even though we've forgotten, a little voice inside of us kind of still remembers magic, or our kind of our origin, if you will.
Mm. There's a lot of fear and skepticism towards this.
Well, the ego will do anything to not go back to the source.
Mm. So, and then you see the examples in the Middle Ages where you have the witch hunts, and anyone, not even that was displaying magic per se, but just they were a bit different.
Mm.
And, you know, even not people that were left-handed were discouraged as well. So there was a lot of history, you know, against tapping into our natural source.
Mm. The suppression of the occult.
Yes, the suppression. So it's really great to have an opportunity to bring this to light and to talk about it in a way to help to help us reconnect our
divine spark.
Yes, our divine spark. Because I read somewhere in a book many years ago that said that a lot of people out there have faculties of some sort, whether it's clairvoyance or whether, you know, they can read minds or they can, you know, have telepathy or something like that. But because they don't know how to manage it, they just think that maybe they're a bit crazy or, you know, they're very sensitive, so they can't be around people a lot because they're picking up on things from other people and they don't know what to do with it. It can be very confronting and they may feel alone. So it's good to for people to know that may have some very innate faculties.
Definitely.
That they're not alone, they're not abnormal, they're not, you know, mutants.
Yes. Well, I guess you could say they're advanced mutants.
They're advanced mutants. Well, yes. And
we all want to become mutants eventually. That would
yes,
be nice.
Yes, well, you know, by Darwin's theory of survival of the fittest, those mutants, that mutation may in fact provide an advantage for survival. But anyway, that's another topic. So yeah, it's good to be able to help to understand this for people that have innately got these faculties, but also in the development of these faculties, as you were saying, in the spiritual path, that well, these things naturally come. It's not like we necessarily work for the faculties and for powers, but they unfold.
Yes. Yeah. You don't just sit down on a couch one day and boom, clairvoyance. Or sit down and even just meditating, if you meditate on the third eye forever, you probably won't get anywhere. Mm. It's more of a, the faculties themselves, they come when we peel off layers of the ego. It's like, if you think of it, it's like all of our faculties thing, and things like, you know, knowledge of chakras and past lives, all of that information is in our subconscious. And we actually need to kind of tap into it, and the subconscious, the hidden part of ourselves. And everything that has kind of, in our lives, our personality, our ego is kind of layered over it, like an onion or like, you know, an egg. And we need to kind of crack that shell. We need to peel out those layers. We need to, or as they say in, you know, some philosophies, we need to empty ourselves. And so in emptying ourselves, we then fill ourselves with magic, spirituality, true divine light. And then we continuously empty ourselves, and in emptying ourselves, we fill ourselves again. And the more empty we are, the more full we become.
Okay, so can we talk a bit about some of the specific faculties, like clairvoyance?
Yeah, clairvoyance is definitely a good one to... That would be a good one to try and develop, or even in a way it's very interesting because there are degrees and degrees of clairvoyance, and in a way, you know, all humans, you know, they say all humans are a little bit telepathic or clairvoyant, and this is certainly true because, as they say in the Gnostic doctrine, the ability of imagination is actually a form of clairvoyance, not fantasy. There's actually, it's going to be a bit hard for some people to understand, but fantasy and imagination are actually two very different things. Whereas imagination comes, you know, from, that's a, you know, almost a faculty from our source. We receive images sometimes just spontaneously, and those are kind of messages from our higher self. So we receive them clairvoyantly, telepathically. And also, in practices to do specifically with ego destruction, you need clairvoyance, because it's the clairvoyance that perceives the difference between the ego and the essence. Because if we don't perceive the difference, and we, you know, try and dissolve the ego, transform the ego, or negate the ego's process, we're kind of just fighting ourselves because we identify with the ego. And so there needs to be something that breaks that identification. You need kind of an objective sense that lets you break away. And that's what clairvoyance kind of is. It is an objective vision.
Okay, so it's goes beyond just the general understanding of, you know, just seeing into the future.
Yeah, seeing into the future or... See, that's more of a higher kind of thing, but you know.
Okay, so it helps us to be able to observe.
Observe ourselves. And to an extent, once we learn how to observe ourselves, it becomes easier to observe other people. But in the end, you know, all of the faculties that we gain, what is the purpose for them? in the end, it should be the purpose for them should be more spiritual growth for ourselves. You know, you can't really do the work for other people, so there's really no point in, you know, pointing out other people's errors, or even, you can help and guide people, but telling, you know, people about their past lives really won't help them, in a way.
Okay, so we'll go to a music break. I've chosen a track from CD The Ecstatic Sonics by Jonathan Goldman. So we'll be back shortly. Okay, we were just listening to Ecstatic Sonics by Jonathan Goldman. That was track number 8. You're listening on PBA FM. You're here with Diana and Adam talking about magical powers and faculties in the Gnostic program of Adelaide. So, Adam, I was just wondering, you were mentioning that religion is filled with stories of different masters that have developed these faculties and amazed us. Like, could you give a couple of examples from a couple of different traditions?
Yeah, well, there's always the one of my favorites is always the story of Milarepa from Buddhism, who, as a child, I believe he came from one of the more higher kind of caste families of, what is it, Tibet, or he was, you know, more of a noble family of Tibet, and he was in one of those situations where his father died very young, and so his uncle kind of took over the house and the state of affairs, and then when it came for his time to take over, his uncle basically just said, no, go away, and kicked him out on the streets. So hence, he wanted to get revenge, or more specifically, his mother told him to get revenge, and so he went to learn sorcery and, or what is it, magic from a Bon Shaman, it's called, a B-O-N, well, I think the O has umlauts on it, but that the Bon is actually the prior religion that, it's kind of a, you know, a shamanistic values, it was the shamanic religion that existed in Tibet before Buddhism entered it. And so at that point, there were still a lot of Bon Shamans, or Bon Shaman kind of schools kind of kicking around. And he basically ended up in one and learnt from them. And then coming out of that, he went back to his hometown, and it said that he took vengeance and created many storms and actually ended up killing many people in his hometown. And in doing this, he actually gained very strong remorse and ended up leaving the kind of the Bon Shamans and leaving his hometown and ended up entering Buddhism. He found a Buddhist teacher and the teachings on compassion, and through that he actually spiritually grew and actually ended up becoming one of the highest masters and gaining one of the highest degrees of enlightenment. And one of the very interesting things about this story is you think it's a Hollywood story where, you know, and he never used magic again, but no, there are actually stories of him fighting other Bon Shamans on behalf of the Buddhists after this event. Like, I think the biggest one was, there is a mountain called Mount Kailash, or Kailash, I'm probably butchering the pronunciation, in Tibet. And he had a massive sorcery battle with the leader of the Bon Shamans there over a land dispute, I believe. It was very interesting.
Okay, I was just thinking when you were talking about in the ancient Toltec tradition that you have in the Carlos Castaneda yep. books with the different forms of shape-shifting
yes.
and type of, you know, things that were going on. So definitely in, like, you know, pretty much every tradition, even though there's that fear of the unknown and a skepticism of these type of faculties, it's only they exist in every tradition. So even the saints
Of Christianity.
You know, the prerequisite of being a saint isn't
it's basically
to
show a miracle inverted commas.
Yeah. Yeah. So you know, there's things like levitation and
saints who appear in two places at once.
Ah, yes, the faculty of ubiquity.
Mm.
Okay, so do you have any other examples?
Oh, they're all just like little Very just little tidbits here and there, like another saint would be Saint Joseph of Cupertino. I think that's another name I'm butchering as well, but I believe he had the faculty of flight. Most of the times that he prayed, he would lift off the ground and fly around the hall. And he was actually very embarrassed about it, because he would do it unintentionally sometimes, and I believe that's why he was canonized as a saint, was the Pope visited at one point, and he burst into an ecstasy and ended up flying around the whole inner temple, and the Pope himself saw it and had him canonized. I'm sure to his dismay.
And I'm sure to everyone else's entertainment.
Ha!
Okay, so something that, every one of us, any listeners could relate to, is working on the chakras.
Yes.
The chakras themselves, allow, or when they're awakened, they can activate certain faculties. So
each chakra has a sort of relationship with an element and a faculty of the human body.
Yeah. So what do you want to list some of the?
There's the basic chakras also kind of correspond to the basic elements. So you have, like, the base chakra is related to the muladhara, the root chakra, or coloured red, is usually related to a sense of, like, smell. And at the highest kind of development of that, you can actually smell truth. It's very interesting that the smell of truth, it sounds kind of odd, but it's kind of that instinctual centre, but it also contains, in that chakra, there's also the element of earth. And so someone who awakens that chakra to the greatest degree will actually have power over the elementals of the earth. Much like the Manipura chakra, the chakra on the solar plexus, its element is fire. So by cultivating that, or a master of the Manipura chakra is said to have power over volcanoes, but on a more minor level you'd probably be able to control fire and stuff like that.
Okay, so you mentioned the instinctive centre, which is quite interesting, in that to be able to observe ourselves and the ego's instinctually.
Yes, it's very important, and this is another way we can use our faculties, such as, it's kind of, you could kind of say you use your faculties from one centre to, on some of the other centres, because the faculty of clairvoyance that we were talking about, very important faculty for the work, arises from the Ajna chakra, the chakra between the third eye. But as I was saying, with degrees and degrees and, you know, acts of imagination, one of the greatest acts we can do is self-observation. Because when we self-observe ourselves, we actually detach from the ego. And by detaching from the ego, we release essence, or sparks, if you will. Very Kabbalistic term, and it's those sparks that are absorbed by our higher self. And the less ego we have, the more we become closer to our higher self, the closer we become to fusing with our higher self. And so the more faculties one gains in that sense. And so one of the simplest things to do is, once we learn to self-observe and we learn to observe the mind in its continuity, we see the breaks in the mind, the flashes of, emptiness in the mind. And once that has been achieved, we can actually kind of go down the centres, and so we can observe our emotions without getting caught up in the emotions, or being, thrown about by anger or any of the other baser emotions. And then the instinctual centre actually becomes one of the most important places that we learn to self-observe, because what is in our instinctual centre? All of our habits. And the ego in its nature is habitual, it's very mechanical. Every time we do something mechanical or automatic, that's basically egoic. When we have a reaction to something or someone, reactions are usually habits that have been ingrained in us. So by observing our instinctual center, what you are eventually observing isn't, thoughts or emotions. You're actually observing the essence, that little spark that you are. You're observing the essence itself. And so what's happening when you learn to observe the instinctual center with your clairvoyance, you are basically the essence observing itself. And in that way, it detaches and it wakes up from the ego. And it's kind of like a what is it, an accumulative effect. The better you become at self-observing, or the more faculties, the faculties that you gain actually lead, it, the path becomes wider and wider in a way. It's like the more you use it, the more you get, the more you work, the easier it kind of becomes in that sense.
Wow, it's great to have these tips in how to use faculties to work on ourselves. Mm. We talk about the work on the ego, and you know, not just to use the faculties to, I don't know, impress people at dinner parties.
And that's one of the main things, is a lot of people, that a lot of people don't realize, they just kind of go, oh, faculties, whatever, or they have a very egoic response to thinking about faculties, like, oh, invisibility, time to commit crimes. Like, if you, in fact, if you ask people on the street, like, if you could, like, fly or gain invisibility, what would you do? And immediately the first thing they say would probably be either something very deviant or a felony. It's very... that, hence that, what is it, that moral obligation. That's why the getting closer to the spirit, having a kind of a purity about you, is what also opens the faculties, the flowers of the chakras on our, what is it, internal bodies.
Okay, so yes, having a strong ethical basis is something that would, you could say, be a prerequisite.
Because a lot of those things, like wanting to show people faculties, that belongs to pride. And so... if you want to gain a faculties, you actually need to have... it's one of those catch-22s. You need to have less, you know, ego. And so if you have that pride, then you're not going to kind of gain that faculty in a sense. Hence where that kind of, you know, oh, if you really want it, you're not going to get it kind of thing that is parroted a lot in the New Age order.
Okay. Well, there's also the thing of having a faculty and then abusing it and then... perhaps losing
that
capacity. Yes, indeed,
that definitely happens, as is the case with Houdini, which I believe it was Oscar Scadigeri, in his book Gnostic Ontology, speaks on Houdini, who he investigated internally. He's spoken, apparently Houdini had the faculty of the fourth dimension, the Jinn state. He could actually... he knew the Tetra science and could actually move his body into the fourth dimension. So he could actually... the way he got out... no one knows how Houdini got out of all of his, like, you know, his tricks. They... like, nowadays they can repeat them with the technology we have nowadays, but back then it was very interesting. Like, he would just kind of get out of things and no one would know how. And so that was... what is it? That's one explanation you could say, is he had that faculty, he had that power... and that's apparently the reason he died was because he showed it off too much, and he basically lost the faculty in the middle of an act, and hence he couldn't get out, and he died.
Okay, didn't know that.
Yes.
Wow, that's definitely an important lesson there.
Indeed. Yeah. Because that's one thing to remember, is the ego itself dies in degrees and degrees. So, you know, I said about, you know, if you have pride, you want to show someone a faculty. Well, that's, you know, you may work on that and, like, break it to a point, and you may gain a faculty, but there's no guarantee that the ego is completely dead. And the ego, as we know, can actually rebuild itself. So if you're not continuously working on the spiritual path, if you gain a faculty and then you just sit on the couch for a long time, or, you know, metaphorically, if you stop working on yourself, if you stop moving towards your being, you actually fall back into the ego. And that's when bad things happen.
Okay. So, you know, just to sum it up, these things, we can attain these faculties or powers, but to, you know, to do it with a good heart, with the proper intentions, and not to, you know, take that that power for granted.
Mm.
Yeah. So okay. Well, almost out of time. So, do any final comments? No. Okay. Well, if you want any more information on anything of these types of topics, you can always go to the website, the Adelaide Gnosis website. That's www.gnosisadelaide.com. So Gnosis is spelt G-N-O-S-I-S. There is also the Facebook page, Gnostic Society Australia. You can have a look at all the different posts of the different teachings and masters. There's also information on the different classes that are available, well, in Adelaide, South Australia, but also if you're listening elsewhere in Australia, then you can look up those classes too. Yes, we will be back next week, same time, just after 4 p.m, same station, PBA FM 89.7. Thank you for joining us, and thanks again to Adam for coming in and elaborating this topic of magical powers.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, and we look forward to having you join us next week. So good afternoon.